Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nation.
Lift up on high the name. Praise the Lord, LAT. I hope we are all well, and I trust that God has been keeping us safely. My name is Joanne Isoke, and I have the privilege of sharing with us the word for today. Let us pray. Almighty Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for bringing us together as a church. We pray that the word that is sent forth today will accomplish that which you sent it for, and it will prosper us. Lord, we open our hearts to receive it. May it teach us, rebuke, correct us, comfort us, and inspire us. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen and amen. In preparing for this sermon, I felt God lay it on my heart to share a lesson that we are all very familiar with. Especially if we have been in LAT for a while, there is this lesson that has been shared before by several people. But I thought that we needed to remember it now, more especially now, and apply it. Why? Because of the times that we are in. This lesson is one of those, in my opinion, that when you learn it by heart, when you keep remembering it, when you keep practicing it, you will be grounded on your path to your destiny. You will not veer off your path. You will not be, even when impatience comes your way, you will not give up. So I pray that this morning, when I bring to remembrance this lesson, it will work its perfect work in your heart. So I titled it, and as we've heard before, keep doing what God told you to do. Keep doing what God told you to do. Amen. Because of the season that we are in globally or worldwide, this is the COVID-19 season, we have faced so many changes in our lives, at work, in how we relate with each other, how we conduct our business, how we teach, how we do so many things. Changes have happened. And it's all because of the pandemic. But we also know that it will work out for our good, as we are promised in Romans 8:28. So it could be that in your destiny, God could have showed you that you will lead your organization. But as it is right now, you find that many workplaces have downsized, or that promotion that you were promised by God and you saw coming has been held off. It could be that when they downsized at your place of work, your job, you were let go of. And you had to go look for something else to do or apply for another job or change departments. It could also be that those contracts, if you're a businessman, those contracts that you're expecting to draw down on could have been held off, or even the clients change their minds. It could also be that if you expected to have traveled out of the country for further studies, because of the lockdown that the countries keep going through, Uganda was red listed, and you cannot enter. For example, you cannot easily enter the UK as you would before, or Australia, or any other place. So I just want to remind us that in that time, keep doing what God told you to do, and leave the rest to Him. When God gives us promises, He is not obliged to give us details. He will give us details as long as He knows that we need them. But I don't know why sometimes He withholds things from us human beings. But I think first and foremost it's because He is God, and He will decide what you need. He knows what you need, and He will give you exactly that. If you don't need a certain detail, He will not give it to you. And maybe there are other spiritual reasons as to why God will not give us details. I'll take an example of the promise we have in our destiny as a church, that we shall grow big, the numbers will come in, our choir will be big, the worship, you know, will bless this nation, bless many people. And right now, we are not meeting physically. And so you can ask yourself and wonder, but now, where is this? How will it come to pass? Don't you think, sometimes, like, I know some people would ask God, but wouldn't you have told us that we shall go through this pandemic and then the lockdowns and then we are not meeting and then we have online meetings? You know, God is not obliged to give us some of these details. And sometimes I think God is not big on details. But I'm going to draw our comfort and encouragement from what the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 11. It says, "Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to take. But with the temptation, he will make a way of escape, and you will be able to bear it." So God not giving us details in our paths, along our paths of destiny, is not a new thing. This same thing happened to our forefathers. And I'm going to draw this inspiration from, I think, like three forefathers. And when I read the Bible, I picture what Moses and Aaron must have gone through. Here is Moses, who has had a supernatural experience with a burning bush. God has commissioned him and he has told him, go and face Pharaoh. Tell him to let my people go. And he even tells him, what do you have in your hands? He says, I have a rod. Throw it down. He threw it down and it became a snake. And he says, you will do this and many more before Pharaoh. So Moses, as you all know the story, God partners Moses with Aaron. He tells him, I have chosen someone to speak for you. Because Moses had told him that he stutters. And God, of course, knew Moses' problem. So he tells him, no, I have someone else, someone who is very good at speaking, that you will go with. This is now just me paraphrasing. That you will go with before Pharaoh. So I imagine Moses goes and meets Aaron and tells him, man, Aaron, I've just had this supernatural experience. The God of our forefathers has appeared to me. And this has happened. And Aaron must have said, okay, let's go. Let's go and face Pharaoh. But imagine when these two men are right before Pharaoh and they tell him to let the people go, and Moses throws down the stick and it becomes a snake. The magicians, the wizards in Pharaoh's palace do exactly the same thing. And the only difference here is that the Moses' rod that had turned into a snake eats the other snakes. Just imagine their conversation as they left the Pharaoh's palace that day, as they went back to the camp. They must have said, "Hey, but God, you sent us. You didn't tell us there's going to be such a freak show. For us, we knew we were going to go and talk to Pharaoh. Yes, you were going to hide in his heart, but surely snakes, one eating another." And just imagine what was the conversation like as they left Pharaoh's palace, yet he had hardened his heart. What do you think these two men talked about? Certainly, if it was me, I would have said, but God, okay, I think there is a small detail that you left out. I went to get the children of Israel out of Egypt, not for a freak show like that. Now, God left out that detail in Moses' life and Aaron's life. They didn't even know how long this whole process of getting the children of Israel out of Egypt would last. They did know that they would have to go through all those plagues. And you see, when you read the Bible, You can even think that these plagues happened maybe in a week, but this was over a period of time. Why? Because at a certain point in the Bible, we are told that Pharaoh instead hardened. Yes, he squeezed the children of Israel more with the hard labor. This could not have happened in 1 week. And they must have cried out to God. And they must have said, but this man Moses, he has just made things worse for us. So that's a detail that happened to Moses that probably in the scriptures, it's not clearly spelled out. But these things were written. The life of Moses was written for our encouragement. So if you think you lack detail along your path of life, you're not the first one. Moses and Aaron went through this. Imagine, maybe like by the sixth plague, Moses had an opportunity to say, you know what, God, I am done with your things. If you said you are going to harden Pharaoh's heart, I didn't expect that it would take this long. He had an opportunity to give up. He had an opportunity to say, choose somebody else. I am done. But he kept on doing what God told him to do. Let us look at the life of Noah. The Bible tells us again in Genesis 6, Noah is given a commission. He is told in Genesis 6, verse 13, it says, and God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And then the following verses talk about God telling Noah to make the ark, giving him the instructions. Then, when Noah made the ark and he finished it, in chapter 7, we see the Lord coming back and telling Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. Now, between chapter 6, verses 13, and chapter 7, I think there are so many more years. Why? Because this was a big ark. Reading Noah's story, I kept on imagining, did he have all the wood prepared? Did he have to grow some trees first? This was a three-storied ark, you know, a three-storied ship. Like, did he have to get people from other people to help him besides his family? What would he tell them in those years, year in, year out? And especially an ark that is designed by God. You cannot quarrel with God. You can't, you know. So Noah must have faced all these temptations of, you know, of trying, of giving up. He must have been discouraged maybe along the way. As we all know, when you're making something, sometimes things go wrong. Things are imperfect. Maybe the wood wasn't straight. Maybe some had to replace some things. I do not know, and the Bible doesn't tell us the actual process of making the ark. But I can only imagine these were men like us. These were human beings like us that you sometimes do something, it doesn't come out well, and you have to repeat it and get it right. So I do not know the period that it took for Noah to make the ark, but I can only suspect that it was a very long time. But during this time, I also imagine, because the Bible here tells us that we have not faced any temptation that is not common to man. So Noah must have faced the temptation of giving up, temptation of discouragement, temptation of, but when will this thing end? This thing is so big, it is so huge. It was the first one. It was the first ship ever made in the Bible. There was never anything like that. And now, moreover, God tells him that I'll open the heavens and I myself will bring down the rain. It had never been heard of before the time of Noah that rain would come from up. In those days, the way God would water the earth is that he would open up the springs from the ground, and then the springs would water the earth. There was no rain. So you can imagine these things were the first ever. Now you and I, the readers of the Bible, have the benefit of knowing how the story ended. But Noah at that time didn't know how the story would end. All he did was to trust God during that time, and he kept doing what the Lord told him to do. Then we look at the life of Joseph. From the time Joseph is given the dreams that, you know, you'll be a mighty man. You'll have the 11 stars bowing down before you, you know. When he was given those big and awesome dreams, God skipped out the detail of his being sold into slavery. Joseph didn't know. Joseph didn't even know that a time would come when he's put into jail. God, for some reason, even if I was Joseph, I would say, but God, this is a very important detail. Why didn't you tell me? Well, God didn't tell Joseph. He left out that detail. But you know what? Joseph just trusted the Lord. He kept on believing what the dreams told him he would be. Now, the average Joseph in this day and age, imagine God has told you, yes, you're going to be the prime minister, or you're going to be the top of your organization, or this promotion is coming for you. You're going to be big, you're going to be huge. And here you are in the COVID pandemic. Not just you, but the whole country, the whole world is experiencing the same. Things are taking a different direction from what you imagine would play out. So an average Joseph in our generation would be faced with a temptation to give up, to say, you know, I think I misheard. It must have, what was the source of that dream? I don't think that dream was even of God. And many times I wonder about the life of Joseph. Did he, while he was there, the Bible doesn't record another time of visitation, another time when he had a dream encouraging him that, you know what, Joseph, that thing I promised you about you being the head, I'm still working on it. The Bible doesn't record any of such a dream thereafter. What we see are things that keep unfolding in Joseph's life. Things that show us of God's, that tell us of God's providence, but not outrightly that, oh, this is, you know, there was a dream that came before. So I felt, while thinking about the lives of these patriarchs, I felt God telling me and telling us today that if you keep doing what I told you to do, you will fulfill your destiny. And then lastly, the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 4:15, it says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, was tempted. Him being human, like us in every way, was tempted just like we are. The main temptation that I'm talking about today is the temptation to give up, the temptation to go and do other things, especially in a time where it seems like you are far off from where God told you would be. Or that promise will not come to pass. The opposite is actually happening. When we think about the life of our Lord Jesus Christ and his temptation, the first thing that comes to our minds usually is when he was, after his baptism, and the Spirit of God drew him into the wilderness. Those are the temptations that we think about. But you see, Jesus Christ being human like you and I, he grew up through life. He knew, he had an inkling then. He knew that his destiny was to take away the sin of the world. And as I imagine, as a young boy, as a young adult, he must have thought about all these things and wondered, but how shall this be? And maybe he could have also gone through challenges where there was a possibility of him saying, you know what, God, the time for my ministry is not coming. No, the time for this is not arriving. God, when? I see myself just waking up in the morning and being a carpenter. There is a better chance, actually, I could even change from being a carpenter and then become a fisherman. Or I could go into agriculture. But Jesus knew that that wasn't his destiny. He kept on doing the things that God told him to do. Now, for as long as you do not have another instruction telling you to do otherwise, please keep doing what God has told you to do. I am not saying that this lesson will apply in every area of your life. Certainly there are some areas where God will come and say, no, my child, yes, this is what was meant to happen, but now let us go for plan B. But there are other times where he will say plan A, is still plan A. I am working. So my encouragement to us this morning is keep doing what God has told you to do, regardless of what is going on. Right now, there are many people who can tell you, no, Joanne, go and start a business, or so-and-so, go and do this. But if that is not what God told you, don't do it. Don't do it, my brother and my sister. Just stick to only the words that God told you to do. Stick to them, whether or not we have the pandemic. Stick to them until you for sure hear God pronounce himself clearly about what you should do. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May his face shine upon you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.